this meeting this evening. I am the deputy to the chairman, but the chairman is not able to be with us this evening. The chairman is Brian Cross. I'd like to make a few points before we embark. And if you've got a mobile phone, can you ensure that it's put in silent mode, please? And can I ask members of the public to refrain from any comments from the public gallery? There is no fire alarm planned for this evening, but in the event of an emergency, please leave the building by the nearest exit and staff will be available to show you the way out. On my right, I've got officers from the planning department, and on my left, there are officers from the legal department. Officers of the planning department will present each application separately as it appears on the agenda. Members of the public who have indicated to speak will be given 3 minutes at the table provided, and you'll be told when you have a minute left to sum up. Ward members are entitled to speak for 5 minutes. This meeting is being recorded and will be published in due course on the council's website. Applications can only be dealt with in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework and the new local plan and any other relevant planning matters. And I remind members of the committee that they do not enjoy any special immunity similar to that enjoyed by members of parliament. We can now move to the agenda, the papers and the. So can I ask first, are there any apologies?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, there's apologies from the chairman. Councillor Cross is substituted this evening by Councillor Trowbridge, and from Councillor Edgeler, who was due to be substituted by Councillor Beattie, who also sends her apologies now because of illness, and from Councillor Phillips.
Right. Any declaration of members of interest or lobbying?
Yes, I will be representing Dan's motorcycle showroom with Philip Rockstone as a ward member, and I will not be voting.
Right. So that's the two items on the agenda relative to Dan's.
Yes, Chairman.
Yeah.
Chairman.
Andrew?
I was lobbied on the matter, which I forwarded all the emails I received to the planning department, and with my assurance I'm not living up in order of
insurance. Yeah, so I think we've perhaps all been lobbied.
I haven't.
You haven't? Okay.
Maybe it's because I'm a sub.
Sorry?
Maybe it's because I'm a sub.
Maybe. Okay.
Sorry,
James,
can you just clarify
over
what we've
lobbied
on, which application?
The
application
of fencing and hedging.
Yes, it's the enforcement issue.
Thank you.
Is that right, Councillor McCown? The enforcement issue?
Yes, fine, thank you.
Me too, Chairman.
Yeah. And I was.
Thank you.
Okay, we turn to the first item on the agenda, which is application 21/34168/FUL, land on the site of the old cottage, Almshouse Croft, Bradley. This matter will be initiated, dealt with by Richard Wood.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Since the publication of the agenda, the applicant has appointed a planning consultant who has made representations about the planning history of the site, quoted in the report. As an important part of the report is what permission is extant on the site, so it's important that sufficient information is provided to be able to explain the situation. It is agreed that more information needs to be provided as part of the report, and as a consequence, it is recommended that committee defer consideration of the application this evening. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor Cooper?
I propose we defer it as recommended by the
Seconded. Anybody against that? So the proposal is that for the reasons outlined, this application is deferred. Okay. So this. So can we vote on that then? That those in agreement for deferment. That's unanimously. So it is likely, I would say that this item will feature on the next planning committee meeting.
It will be a future meeting, Chairman.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry that you've had to come out on a filthy night like it is, but we haven't. We needed to take that decision, and having taken that decision, then the matter will be deferred and it will be subject to a future agenda. Thank you very much.
Could I say a word as one of the local members, please?
Mark, it has been deferred, so therefore it's been dealt
that,
with.
What I'd like to say is, it really is past the 11th hour that's been deferred, and I think in deference to the people who've come out tonight, there should be some reason why it's the very last minute that we're turned back to the meeting ourselves that we're told it's been deferred, because I wasn't told as a local member.
Right.
And I think it's poor show, really.
I think there was information that was sent out.
I think from memory, the representation from the planning consultant was only received either Friday or Monday of this week, and we've since taken a decision. Between planning officers to defer on that basis, having reviewed the report.
Yes, Chair, I still think that in other committees I'm involved with, which are planning and semi-legal, semi-judicial, that there is a cut-off point where information comes in, and then a point at which officers are supposed to inform the committee and any members of the public when it is. And I feel slightly sort of aggrieved for these people who've turned out tonight.
Well,
it's past the 11th hour.
Yeah, I have apologised because I understand the inconvenience that's been caused, but the decision has been taken. Councillor Chowdhury?
Just for Mark's information, it couldn't have gone out that it had been deferred, because it was still up to us, the committee, to defer it, and I also apologise that it's been deferred. But if there's more information needed or is on its way, I would much rather see that, Mark. I'm sorry. And I do apologise to everyone, but I'd rather see all the information than a little part of it.
Mr. Chairman, can I just say, in terms of the decision-making process by committee, there could be a challenge in terms of that members are not fully aware of all the facts in order to make an appropriate decision, and that's the reason why officers are recommended for them.
That's understandable. Thank you very much indeed. We now go on to the 21/34338/FUL. There are two applications on this, but they would be taken separately.
I was hoping that we would do them both together, therefore my call in is for the joint.
Yes, appreciate that.
Yeah.
Okay, do you want to...
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Chair. This application seeks permission to convert the existing showroom to a Starbucks drive-through. This includes alterations to the building and external layout, including the provision of a new footpath along the A34. The location plan shows the extent of the site outlined in red to the west of the A34 and an aerial view of the site. To the north, west and south of the site is a protected ancient woodland, beyond which is the River Trent and open fields. To the east is a residential area with the Whitebridge Industrial Estate beyond. There is a service station to the northeast indicated here. The site is located within the greenbelt and outside of a designated stone settlement boundary. The photo plan shows the location of the following photos. Image 1 is looking north from the site's southern access, The neighbouring petrol station is visible here. Image 2 is looking south into the site. The northern access is visible here. Image 3 is looking south and shows the front elevation and the front of the site. Image 4 shows the northern portion of the site and the north elevation. Image 5 shows the southern portion of the site and the southern elevation. Image 6 shows the west of the site where the land levels drop. Image 7 is looking west across the southern portion of the site. Plan 1 is the site as existing. And Plan 2 shows the proposed site plan. The existing accesses would be used to create a separate in and out. Car parking would be created to the north and south, and to the west would be the drive-through route. Plan 3 shows the extent of the proposed footpath along the western side of the A34, linking the site with the existing footpath at the traffic lights. Plan 4 and 5 are the existing elevations of the building. Plan 6 and 7 show the proposed elevations. The existing rear extension would be removed and replaced with a smaller extension here. A small fenced service yard would be created to the north, and the south and east elevations would have new glazed and clad facades. Plan 8 and 9 show the proposed vehicle charging points and substation. These will be located to the southeast of the site. The proposal is considered to comply with local and national economic policies and would not impact upon the vitality or viability of Stone Town Centre. The proposal would utilise a vacant site and provide 10 full-time and 15 part-time jobs, which would subsequently positively impact the local economy. The proposal is considered to comply with national Greenbelt policy and would reduce the volume and footprint of the building whilst reducing the amount of hard surfacing within the site. Although the site is outside of the designated settlement boundary and town centre, the proposal is considered to be acceptable in principle. The proposed layout and design is considered to be acceptable and would modernise the appearance of the building. The additional landscaping would soften the appearance of the development and provide additional visual interest. Subject to securing the exact materials by condition, the proposal is considered to be acceptable with regards to layout and design. To the east of the site is a residential area. The environmental health team have raised no objections to the scheme, subject to conditions. Suitable ventilation and extraction systems are proposed in order to ensure that neighbours aren't affected by odour or fumes. The proposed opening hours are also considered to be reasonable. Subject to complying to recommended conditions, the proposal is not considered to have significant detrimental impacts upon residential amenity. With regard to the access arrangements, Highways authorities have advised that these are acceptable. Amendments were sought to ensure that a pedestrian footpath could be provided along the western side of the A34, and this was found to be acceptable, subject to securing further details via the recommended conditions. The Highways Authority have advised that the proposed parking is acceptable, subject to securing a travel plan to promote the use of sustainable travel modes. This would be secured by a condition and a monitoring fee secured via a legal agreement. Amendments were sought and agreed to ensure that sufficient space is provided within the site for delivery vehicles. The proposal is considered to be acceptable with regards to access, parking and highway safety. With regards to ecology, the Biodiversity Officer concurs with the findings of the submitted ecological report, and the scheme is not considered to impact upon biodiversity, subject to securing details of bird and bat boxes, a revised lighting strategy and a revised landscaping scheme. The site is adjacent to an ancient woodland, and as such a tree survey was required during the determination of the application. The tree officer raised no objections, subject to the provision of tree protection measures. And the biodiversity officer has requested a construction environmental management plan to be secured via condition in order to protect the woodland. Subject to adhering to the recommended conditions, the proposal is considered to be acceptable with regards to ecology and arboriculture. The scheme is considered to be acceptable with regards to drainage and flooding and contamination. In conclusion, the proposal is considered to adhere to the requirements of the development plan and national policy, and is recommended for approval subject to the applicant first entering into a planning obligation to secure a financial contribution towards a travel plan monitoring fee and the conditions set out in the report. Thank you.
Thank you. Have we an objector?
Mr. Chairman, we've got a gentleman that's registered to speak to the next application, but what he might say may be relevant to the first application, so maybe worth inviting to speak on the first as well.
Okay, that's Mr. William Clark.
Is it okay to speak on both then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you like to come to the table?
Yeah, sure.
And I'll remind you that you've got 3 minutes to speak. This doesn't preclude your opportunity of speaking to the next application as well.
Well, I can address half of it now and address the other half.
Yeah.
As part of that, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. My name is William Clark and I live opposite the proposed development. Vanessa, I can note your comments from your report. Unfortunately, I don't have the time to respond in detail and will comment on the 2 points, one of which I'm commenting on now. It's to do with the signage. You referred to the signage being consistent with the corporate branding image by the end user. However, I do not think that there are many drive-throughs that are in towns in a greenbelt and directly opposite residential housing, and as such should at least attempt to fit into the locale and not replicate an interstate highway. The comments concerning about the totem pole being relatively lightweight and not being considered to appear incongruous due to the tall street lighting are misleading and subjective, as are many other officer comments. The 9 metre totem pole is a complete indulgence and is suited to a retail or business park. And the argument regarding the KFC passed on appeal is a completely different and isn't relevant to the Greenbelt development. I'm not advocating no advertising, only suitable advertising for the location in stone. But I would like to question what Vanessa's said about significant detrimental impact to the residential housing. Because to me, it's either it's causing an impact or it isn't. And it can't be explained away as it's not considered to be significant. That's all I'd like to say on that matter.
So just to remind councillors that this application that we're discussing right now is the change of use of the building and the development on the site, not the signs. That'll be discussed
the next.
Yeah. And with regards to the recommendations that we make, it has to be taken in the planning balance. So we consider all the pros and cons and make a balanced decision on these applications.
Thank you. Thank you. You withdraw from the table. Thank you.
You'll speak again on the other bit that I've got for you.
Yes.
Now.
Where we get to that.
Yep. Okay.
We have a supporter. He's present, Mr. Darren Burney.
I'm the applicant.
Pardon?
Yeah, I'm the applicant.
Yeah.
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 Chair.
Mm-hmm.
The proposal brings an existing building back into use and generates 25 full and part-time jobs. And the planners have thoroughly assessed the application and recommended an approval. Councillor called the application in on the grounds of highway safety and potential detrimental visual impact of design of the building and the residential amenity of those properties facing the site. The nearest house is actually some 30 metres away. It's across the other side of a busy dual carriageway, and there is tree coverage screening some of the houses. The environmental officer has reviewed the scheme and had no objections. I would also like to point out that Dan's Motorcycles has been present in its location, I understand, before the relevant houses were actually constructed. The proposal uses the existing access points on the A34, which provide separate in and out arrangement and good internal circulation. The application also includes improvements to the pedestrian safety and access via cycles by proposing the creation of a pedestrian footpath along the western side of the A34 between the sites and the traffic lights to the south. The scheme also includes improvements to the landscaping and a reduction in hard standing to what is currently in situ. There is accessible and electric fast charging provided within our development, as well as cycle parking. The proposal refurbishes and enhances the elevations with new cladding, timber features and static signs. Starbucks have a strict litter policy and procedures to ensure recycling of waste and clean, tidy sites. I believe the points I make adequately address the two points the councillor raises, and we have worked constructively with your planning department to ensure any issue has been suitably resolved.
You have 1 minute remaining.
Thank you. In regards to the signage, I can actually confirm that it is standard corporate signage, both in image and size. There are many identical signage, totem signs across the country. So in conclusion, the proposal would support the local economy, create additional jobs, and would not compromise the vitality or viability of the town centre of Stone. The proposal is considered to be acceptable development within the Greenbelt and to utilise a vacant site. The scheme is considered to be suitably designed and would not have a detrimental impact upon residential amenity nor highway safety. The development is also considered to be acceptable in regards to ecology and arboricultural. Overall, the proposal is considered to comply with the development plan and NPPF, and as your planning officers have recommended for approval subject to conditions, we hope that you will be in favour of this development.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Councillor Hodge, as Ward Member, do you want to address the committee?
As I said, Chairman, I actually wanted
to...
Sorry, Chair. I was actually hoping that this both applications would be heard by the committee together. I won't be able to do anything without my glasses. I do apologise for wasting your time, Chairman.
Okay.
Thank you, Brendan. So I'm going to read my call-in, which does apply to both applications, and I'm sorry about that. I often have residents speak to me about a new business which clearly isn't suitable in the chosen premises. They'll say, "Still, it's better than being empty, isn't it?" I struggle to understand why Starbucks has chosen this site as suitable and a desirable business location so close to a residential setting. A sequential test has been taken as outlined in paragraph 87 of the NPPF, demonstrating there are no appropriate alternative sites within the town centre, nor on the edge of centre locations, and is satisfied Dan's is the place to be. There are 10 coffee shops in Stone High Street, with one opening on March 30th and another on April the 14th, 12 in total. People who use the coffee houses in the town are more than likely to spend in the high street shops, boosting the local economy. Drive-through customers will not visit the town and Stone will not benefit. In mitigation of this proposal, a section of the pavement is to be widened. The stretch from the proposed Starbucks to the lights is hazardous, with vehicles travelling at excessive speeds. A and HGVs redirected from the Ofton M6 closures. HGVs using Yarnfield Lane will be going onto the A34 during the construction of the railhead, adding to the traffic on that stretch of the A34. Yet again, we have highways telling us it's safe. Local knowledge ignored by desk bots. Will tell you we seldom see pedestrians on that stretch, even though we have the very popular Wayfarer situated just down the road. It is not safe. The 9 metre, nearly 30 foot for those of us in pound shillings and pence still, 9 metre high totem pole, resembling an advert for an American motel, must be considered or either harm to the visual amenity of the area. The pole is described in our planning papers as relatively lightweight and not considered to appear incongruous within the street scene in the presence of tall streetlights, and is visually acceptable. The dictionary meaning, and I'm sure I don't have to tell you, of incongruous is not in harmony or keeping with the surroundings. The illuminated totem pole with its smiling lady and a star-shaped crown, all 30 foot of it, will tower over the abutting green belt and adjacent ancient woodland. The residents across the road will see it clearly due to its height and illumination. It most definitely is incongruous, does not enhance the area, does not fit in with the street scene, demeans the visual amenity, and is not visually acceptable. The lights built towards the southern woodland from this proposal will confuse birds who breed early, resulting in chicks hatching before food is available, and will interfere with moths and other flying insects drawn to the lights. It's estimated about one third of the flying insects will die from exhaustion by morning. Great to think bird and bat boxes will be put up, but you'll find they're already there. With a floor space of approximately 200 square metres, policy E8 states an impact assessment isn't required. It is. Residents are told no cooking will be done on the premises. All food will be delivered to be heated through. This is a menu selection. Seeded wrap with creamy scrambled egg, Monterey Jack cheese, sausage, smoky streaky bacon, spinach, fresh tomatoes and beans. When I use a microwave, I call it cooking, and there's always an odour. We have a very good green environmental town record in conjunction with Stafford Borough Council. A drive-through will put more cars on our roads, exploding our carbon footprint. Not good enough. Due to time permitted, I've outlined some of the flaws to this proposal. I understand fully how difficult it is, but I ask you to please use mitigation to reduce the impact on residents and highway safety with this proposed application. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor.
We need to do this in two separate sessions.
This is difficult in the sense that we are looking at two applications, and it's obviously very difficult not to stray from one to the other, but I'll remind you that what we are now considering is the first of these applications, 34338. I open that to the floor for any questions, councillors' comments and the request for clarification, etc. Castle Camp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've got a number, but I'll start with car parking, if I may. On page 26, point C, it says that 23 customer parking spaces theoretically should be required, and 17 are provided. But I can't see where 17 spaces are on there, but I'd be happy to be informed of where they are.
Yes, there are 17.
Yeah. What? So
there's one, two, three, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17.
Okay, so next point then would be how many cars could be behind where you order your coffee, how many cars could you get before it overlaps onto the A34? I'd estimate about 12, something like that. Cost of coffee at Beaconside, I've regularly counted 15 to 20 cars parked ordering their coffee there. And I just wonder, is there some sort of industry standard that says, well, reckon at high peak periods we will get X number of cars? That looks to me as if that would fill up fairly quickly at busy times.
So a transport statement was submitted with the application and reviewed by the Highways Authority, and they did not raise any objections about the layout or the capacity of the site with regards to cars accessing it.
So the capacity of the site has not been really questioned or investigated?
It's not been objected to. The Highways Authority would do.
Have they investigated from that aspect the capacity of the site from the order to the A34 to accommodate cars without them spilling onto the A34, or have they just investigated in and out?
And the application has been submitted to the Highways for comment, and they haven't commented adversely against the proposal regarding throughput.
So if I just return then to the other question, which was 23 spaces are recommended but only 17 are provided, and why has that sort of been parked, for the want of a better expression, has not been relevant?
Sure. So the recommended 23 spaces is using the standards we've got in the local plan, and that is based on if it was a cafe. It's not just a cafe, it's mainly going to be a drive-through. Most people to the site will come in their car, drive through and drive off. And the application will also require a travel plan to be provided in order to encourage staff to use sustainable travel methods. The Highways Authority have accepted the level of parking that is provided subject to this travel plan being secured. So that therefore we consider it is sufficient parking given the nature of the site.
Okay. So if you could just indulge me a little bit more, Mr. Chairman, if you may. So it's primarily drive-through, and so that would suggest to me that cars will be parked behind each other from the order point. And that would increase the possibility of cars spilling onto the A34. Because it's more drive-through than it is sit-down. So I'm a bit confused about... that on the one hand, there's more than enough parking spaces if it's primarily drive-through, and on the other hand, there's limited road space between the order point and the A34. And just one more point, if I may, on the travel plan. Where is the nearest bus stop?
Off the top of my head, it is by the petrol station.
On the opposite side of the road.
Yes, it's not opposite Starbucks, it's on the Newcastle Road. No buses stop on that section of the A34.
That's the 101.
No buses stop northbound.
Or southbound. On the A34. Until they get to either the Walton roundabout
or
Newcastle Road, where the bus
cuts
through.
Okay. Can we get a clarity here?
Because you'd have to restrict it to a congregation only.
Are you wishing to make a clarification? I can't allow additional points, but clarification of anything would be helpful.
In regards to the drive-through lane, the councillor is correct, it's actually for 12 spaces. I just wanted to clarify and put it into perspective. Certain drive-throughs where there's considered extra capacity beyond 12, that's when we create a double drive-through lane. In this situation, it's not necessary. But again, if you've looked, it's very, very rarely have 12 cars stacking, because the wait time to get to the counter for a cup of coffee is probably going to be over half an hour if you've got 12 cars stacking, and it just doesn't happen in the drive-through business. So I apologise for stepping in, but I just wanted to...
No, I think that's a helpful clarification. Councillor Trowbridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This application in Greenbelt, if there was nothing there, I would be totally against it. Absolutely 100% against building in our lovely Greenbelt. But it's been a service station, it's already had permission for cooking, it's been an existing garage. The only thing we didn't allow it to be was a workshop and with a jet wash facility, according to this. So it's already got permission there. So I can't see, especially when highways are saying it's absolutely fine. I mean, I'm totally with the ward councillor. This would be so much better if it was a local doing a local coffee shop and not another Starbucks or these chains, but that's got nothing to do with planning. So I can only put this through to accept it on officer's recommendation, and I'd like to propose.
That's your proposal. Can I have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Pardesi. You wish to speak, Councillor Cooper?
I do, thank you, Chair. Looking at the plan you've got there, plan two, judging by the other layouts as well, there is a service stroke utility yard to the right of the building, which I assume from a logistics point of view, where supplies are replenished through that end. I guess we're going to have some sort of truck coming through. I don't know whether it'll be an articulated lorry, I don't know how much they'll have delivered. But that clearly is going to add to the congestion and delivery times. When you've got a lorry in there as well stacked, where it would park, how it would work, I don't know. That would clearly add to additional congestion around the...
That would have been taken.
Yeah, so the... you can see on Martin's screen, this area here was extended in order to allow a HGV to drive in here, park there, reversing in, and then drive straight out the exit. It's recommended that these spaces are used for staff, and also the delivery times of Starbucks is normally outside of the peak times of visitors, so it's unlikely to affect visitors coming in and out of the drive-through as well.
Another clarification.
Apologies. Just also mentioned that Starbucks, for deliveries, they use the small vehicles. They're not the larger, sort of 40-ton heavy goods vehicles.
Thank you. That's helpful. Anybody? Sorry.
Sorry, just going on to that. It occurs to me. We've got lots of pictures of lots of cars going through it. Do you get many large HGVs and the like coming through a Starbucks, or is that?
No. There's a height restriction here.
Okay, anybody else wish to speak on this?
Just going to point out that condition two does include the vehicle tracking plans as an approved plan as well.
Could you just elaborate on the vehicle tracking plan?
Yeah, it is a technical drawing that is provided to the Highways Authority. I haven't got a copy of it with me right now, but it shows where the wheels move through the site and then back out again. The Highways Authority reviewed it and accepted the tracking plan. So it's path analysis, yes, that's the word.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, we have a motion on the table to approve, proposed by Councillor Trowbridge, seconded by Councillor Bardesi. Those in favour, please indicate.
1, 2, 3. 3.
Those against?
1.
That proposal is approved. Thank you. We go now on to the second part, which I think, whether deliberately or inadvertently, we've strayed into this area before. But perhaps you could, as is convention, then present the application.
Sure, thank you.
And then speakers can judge how much further they want to amplify their points as opposed to what has already been made.
Thank you very much. So this application seeks consent for the adverts of the proposed Starbucks, which have just been discussed. Again, the location plan is shown on the screen. And the aerial again. These photos that you can see are the same as what you've just seen, so I'll whiz through them fairly fast. So there's looking north. Note the existing totem on the site. Looking south. Looking south again at the front. The northern portion of the site. The southern portion of the site. The western portion of the site and the southern portion of the site again. Plan 1 shows the proposed signage layout, which includes building fascia signs, directional signs at the entrance, so this one here labelled 7 and this one here labelled 2, the drive-through menu boards labelled 3 and 5, and a totem sign labelled 1. They are all statically internally illuminated. There are other signs shown on the plan, but these do not form part of the application as they don't require express consent from us. Plan 2 and 3 show the fascia signage to the east and south elevation. Plan 4 and 5 show the drive-through menu board and the totem sign. Plan 6 and 7 show the directional signs and the menu board. Yeah. Since the agenda was published, we received a further neighbour representation. The points raised by the additional representation have already been considered in the assessment of this application within the agenda. Advert applications can only be considered with regards to visual amenity and public safety, taking account of cumulative impacts. With regards to the visual amenity, the signage is of typical design found at drive-through facilities. The totem sign, whilst tall, is of a relatively white, lightweight design and is not considered to appear incongruous within the street scene, given the site's context next to the A34 and the tall streetlights. The proposed illumination levels are considered to be acceptable given the location next to the dual carriageway. The environmental health officer has raised no objections to the signage, and the signs are not considered to have a significant detrimental impact upon the amenity of nearby residents. With regards to public safety, the highways authorities have raised no concern and advised that the proposed illumination levels are acceptable in this location. The adverts are therefore considered to comply with local and national policy, and the application is recommended for approval subject to conditions set out on the report. Thank you.
Are there any further points you want to make on this particular aspect that you haven't already made?
I did ask Vanessa the direct question, is her explanation of basically what she considers to be significant detrimental impact. There's got to be, as far as I'm concerned, it's either detrimental or it's not. It should be no kind of like ratcheting up of what it is. And
I think what you're saying is that it's acceptable in context.
That's good. It's a good foundation. It was always hard.
So it was as part of the planning application process and determining planning applications, we have to weigh the harm of anything within the planning balance. So you have to give it a significance. And in this case, it's considered not to be a significant detrimental impact, which would warrant a refusal of the application.
On the grounds of?
The design and the illumination is considered to be acceptable, and our environmental health teams have not objected to it.
It's not to have a dialogue, it's to make it an opportunity of making a statement which you have made, and you've reinforced the statement that you made.
Well, basically, I'm just reinforcing it. I think that 30 foot, having an illuminated 30 foot thing right outside my house, is of a like, significant detriment to my residents.
Yeah, and you made that point, and I think it's understood. Is there any further points you want to make? So what was... Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. No, if you have, would you come to the table?
Thank you. In regard to the corporate sign, I repeat that it's a standard corporate sign. I appreciate the neighbours' concerns. I'm not sure which house you are, but correct me if I'm wrong, but there's two properties directly opposite the site, and I think there's just one window. The other houses, as I said, are quite a way down, and not directly in front of the sign. But I mean, I know this meeting is recorded, but I'm happy to talk to any neighbours, council. I'm happy to leave you my card, and if there's any issues, I'm happy to speak to neighbours and see if we can mitigate. I can go back to Starbucks and ask, but it's a corporate image, it's a corporate sign, and I generally don't think it's a sort of a flashing neon sign. It fits, I think it fits in with the development as well.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
Councillor Hood, are you intending to make a further representation on... if you would like to do that, then I'll come in terms of a procedural matter on advertisement consent before members debate the item.
That would be helpful, I think.
Okay, so I'm going to have to be clever how I say this then, so that the chairman doesn't say, we've already discussed that.
I won't say that.
This 30 foot high totem pole. So I go to the garage every morning at 6 o'clock, which is diagonally across from the proposed development, and there is van after van pulling in there, getting their newspapers, their petrol, their cigarettes, whatever. They then go on their merry way south. Now, I already see cars screeching to a halt, U-turning at the lights. So the coffee at the garage is not of a very good standard. We all know Starbucks has an excellent standard of coffee. They are going to see the building on the right. They're going to do their U-turn, extremely dangerous, and pull in. I come from Chester, and I remember when we had a McDonald's come to Chester. It's on Foregate Street. And people were up in arms about the golden arches. McDonald's immediately climbed down, and unless you look for McDonald's, you can't find them. They weren't allowed their golden arch, the same in Germany, the same in Cyprus. You keep telling us through the planning application, and this gentleman here, the rep for Starbucks, tells us, this is our brand. Well, I'm sorry, it's not acceptable. The totem pole is not acceptable in stone on the A34. It's light pollution. It's hideous. Why do we need the totem pole? That building is going to be lit up like Blackpool illuminations. It is now, as a derelict building, it is lit up now. Go and have a look in the dark. What's happening with that building? How strongly it's lit up, and it's going to be exactly the same. I don't accept it's going to be subtle. Starbucks would be stupid if they just use subtle lighting instead of saying, we're lit up, we're here, stop, come for a coffee.
The advertising is going to have people queuing outside, and the advertising will bring HGVs parked. They even park on the Eccleshill Road to go to the chip shop, and they park on the pavements, they park on the yellow lines. We're not going to stop that. This is an extremely dangerous stretch of road, and advertising, lighting, etc., quite rightly, because it's just been passed through, Starbucks is going to come to Stone. I don't want it in Stone, we don't need it in Stone. But to add insult to injury, you're going to put this ruddy great totem pole outside when you don't need to. Please, can I ask that we don't have, at least don't have the totem pole, and that the light is more subdued. I accept that the environmental officer has been and done a study and said, you know, we're going to do bat boxes and bird boxes. Well, whoopee-doo, they're already there. Locals make sure that they're there. So I'm sorry, I just don't accept we need the totem pole, and please can we have the lighting subdued? Thank you, Chairman, for indulging me.
Thank you. Richard, you said you wanted to come back.
Yeah, as a procedural point, we're considering this application not under the Town and Country Planning Act, but under the advertisement consent regulations, and that's slightly different to a planning permission, in that if one element of a planning permission is unacceptable, you refuse the whole scheme. With an advertisement scheme, you can actually issue a split decision. So you can actually look at each individual sign and say, that's appropriate, we can approve that, or that particular sign is inappropriate, or and you can refuse that particular sign on the scheme. So you do have that provision during the debates of this item. Additionally, if you look on page 39,
yeah.
So you've got the proposal with the with the candela limit, so that of illumination, that's 300. If members are minded to approve the application, they may wish to consider an additional condition to say that the external lighting of any sign on the site shall not exceed those candela limits. And in terms of the officer assessment, members just need to be aware that we only have control over visual amenity and public safety on these matters. In terms of public safety, that's normally a highway safety issue. To refuse the application on highway safety grounds, you would need to demonstrate harm to highway safety. The highway authority are not objecting to this proposal. So from what I can gather, your issues relate to visual amenity. Thank you.
Councillor Trowbridge, you wanted to speak.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I think that was helpful, Richard. Thank you very much.
It was, and it's blown the way I was looking at this now. So that's never mind. Could you put up image one for me, please? Image one shows there's nothing in the way of tall totem poles down there lighting that at the minute. Image six now, please. Image 6 shows the lovely green space at the back, and again, nothing lighting down there. So I would say that tall light has a possible ecological impact, which if you look at Conservation and Enhancing the Natural Environment 174, states we could have, but now I'm not sure that I can use that because I'm not sure if this is to do with planning, so you've kind of thrown me. I had a way to fight against that totem pole a minute ago, but now I'm not sure I have. I think I may have gone down the wrong route, so I was looking more at planning. So conservation and enhancing the natural environment, 174, does state that in green belt, light pollution on green belt because of the possible impact on, and we've just heard from the ward member, there's bat boxes up there, on things like bats could have quite an impact. So if it is possible, if I'm going down the right route here that I'm not 100% sure I am, is it possible for us to accept it all bar that tall totem pole, for the reason of conservation and enhancing the natural environment and the effect on the ecological impact on bats, birds, etc.?
Is that a proposal?
Only if it's... I need to
well,
make
I
sure
agree with
that
you.
What
you need
I'm
to clarify if that's a valid proposal.
Is valid.
So for advert consent, we can only consider visual amenity, which is about light spread, impact on the neighbours, that sort of stuff, and the height of the...
It can't be the impact on the bats and the...
Public safety. It's not ecology. That's not as part of the advert legislation. However, in the full application that's just been approved, there's a condition that says a revised lighting scheme, so all the lights that light up the roads and things, the parking areas, a revised lighting scheme is required to take into consideration the overall impact of the site.
Okay.
If that helps. Oh, and also one more thing, sorry. This, unfortunately, this green sign here is blocking that there is a totem, standard petrol totem sign at the petrol station. There's one on this side and one on that side behind the trees on the other side of the road.
But that's the petrol station,
yeah.
Not Dan's.
That, that
it's not 9 metres tall either.
But that's not... Is that still green belt that side of the road?
No.
We're talking
no.
about...
Green belt's not part of advert legislation.
Wow, I've gone down the wrong route here.
Did you
need to refer to the...
Councillor Cooper, did you want to speak?
Yes, please.
Please.
Thank you, Chair.
While Councillor Trowbridge thinks.
Yeah, it's just to understand image three to try and get things in proportion. The height of this totem pole is what, did you say?
9 metres.
9 metres. How does that compare with the existing lampposts and the flag filtering down further on in terms of its height? You know, it's just been able to visualise against what's
yeah.
existing.
Yeah. So I don't have the exacts, but street lighting on dual carriageways normally is between 8 and 12 metres tall. The ridge height of the building that's already there is 8 metres tall.
So we're talking 1 metre higher than the...
The top of the totem would be 1 metre higher than the ridge of the building. There we go. So you can
and
see
the
that the street lights are higher than the ridge of the building.
If I could, I think I'm echoing Councillor Trowbridge's concerns about lighting the green belt, the environmental impact, which we can't comment on. At the back, when you show the image at the back of the, which is.
Yeah, there.
With number six. Yeah. At the moment, I'll. I have a reasonable assumption that there is next to no lighting at the back there right now. Against the woods. When you get the site completed, there will be a lot of lighting around there against the woods and the wildlife. And
is that true?
The overall lighting scheme for the site would be considered under the full application that we've already done. And there's a condition on there that says they have to provide us with a revised lighting scheme, which takes into impact the cumulative impact of the advert lighting and the external lighting of the site. So that's on the full application.
On the woodland?
Yes.
Yes. So we as a committee now have to rely on you as officers to make sure that that section, which is yet to be developed in full, is compliant to the point where it will not be detrimental to the woodland.
And, that, and that's a condition on the applicant.
It's condition 11 on page 33 of the agenda.
But it doesn't come back before committee. That's something that...
No, that will be that will be done under a discharge of condition. That's
yeah, but we've already dealt with that one now, so how do we go...
I think just try
this?
And clarify the issue here. I think what I can gather from members, the concern is in relation to...
Totally.
The totem sign, the height, and its visual impact on the locality, including potentially residential amenity as well.
Well, mine was more on the woodlands, but
yes,
yes, I understand.
So in terms of visual amenity, I think, are you saying that, from what I can gather, the sign is excessive in height in relation to the site context,
yeah,
the surroundings,
yeah,
and that is perhaps exacerbated by its illumination?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman,
I'm going to leave members, I'm just going to
wiggle that.
I would like to propose that we accept the application bar the 9 metre totem pole on the grounds of visual impact and illumination.
With that one,
I'm done.
Can I just come back? In order to refuse the totem sign, we will need a reason for refusal. And whilst it's in relation to visual amenity, you do need to be slightly more specific in terms of what the harm is. So it's
due to its
location. Can't the Hoyak climb the ecological impact of that? Yeah?
We can't do a climb.
It's purely on visual amenity only. You need to expand on that.
So, in terms of
what's the heart? Sorry.
Height,
yeah.
Location,
yeah.
Illumination.
Yeah. In terms of location, Council, can you just expand upon that, please?
It's right on the highway, isn't
on
it?
The highway boundary.
It's not like tucked around the back.
Yeah.
Incongruous. That's
a good point. It's a common seat.
Yes.
On the frontage?
Yes.
Right.
I love incongruous.
So your proposal is that we accept this application with the subject to a change in relation to the second item on the proposal, which affects the totem pole with static internal illuminated logo at 300.
Bar the totem pole per se. Sorry.
Okay, that is the proposal that we have received.
I need clarity on that before I vote. Yeah, please.
Okay. So, as I understand it, the potential resolution at the moment is to approve all the signage except for the totem sign, which you are recommending for refusal on the basis of its location to the high, to its prominency on the site frontage, its height and illumination appearing incongruous within its surroundings.
If that sails, yes.
I'm trying to look through the advertisement because I was all right when I was on the planning refusal.
2007 regulations.
I'm struggling to find that to say that I don't want to give them call to come back and it go to appeal and them to win, is what I'm saying.
There are two options here, Councillor Trowbridge. One is that we refuse a totem sign. The applicant then has the opportunity to appeal that decision, or the applicant has another option to submit another application purely for the totem sign. So there would be two options available to the applicant following a refusal of the application by committee.
There's always the option for them to go to appeal.
Yes.
If that part refused, that's not going to go away.
Yeah, no, I know there's an option for them to go to, but when I was using a planning reason, I felt I've nailed this and it'd be okay. And now I don't feel like that. You know, like I felt if they went to appeal on that, they wouldn't get it. You know, we covered it properly with that. It's not enhancing the natural environment, it's making it worse. Those lights aren't there now, and now we're adding to. And albeit I voted the application through because it's already there, this isn't already there. These lights aren't already there. So
But
I kind of wanted to use that to...
Yeah, and we have control on the visual amenity and public safety.
Yeah, I know.
Could I...
And unless you want to say yes, you'll accept it without the totem pole, then you'll sign that today.
No, we can't have conversations.
I was joking,
Councillor Cooper.
So unless Councillor McKeel was going to... You've got your pen up, right?
Yes. I was just going to say, I think Richard has given us all the reasons we need to be able to make that decision.
Perfect.
Without proposing, and we need someone to second it, hopefully.
Yeah.
So I was going to second.
Okay. So we are, the proposal is that we agree, we give advertisement consent to everything in that paragraph other than the totem pole.
Which members refuse on the basis of
With that sentence that had incongruous in it.
Yes,
And we have Councillor Cooper seconding that. Those in agreement?
One, two, three.
Those against?
One.
That motion is then carried. Thank you very much. We now go to Church Eaton. We are getting this one. I am, yeah. Who's doing this one? Good. Okay, we now turn to We now turn to application 21/347 Chapel 2/HOU, the construction of a single storey detached double garage within front garden to be linked to existing hard surface drive and all surrounding hedges and shrubs to be retained to screen at new garage. Are you addressing this one for the committee?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This application is for a single storey detached double garage located in the front garden at Willowdean. You can see the property Willowdean within the red edge on Rectory Lane here, with the primary school opposite. The application is a resubmission of 18/29012/HOU, which was refused under officer delegated powers. The reason for refusal of that application is set out on pages 44 and 45 of the agenda. As members will see from the officer report, the current submission is identical to that which was previously refused, but with the exception of the roof ridge height of the garage now being lower by 0.35 of a metre. So that's it's been reduced from 3.6 to 3.25, and the omission of a door. You also see from the report that reference is made by the applicant to a detached garage approved by committee at 62 Castle Bank, from the correct address, not Newport Road, Stafford, and this representing a precedent. However, that case is not considered to be comparable to this application for the reasons set out in the report. On this basis, it is considered that the current scheme does not address the concerns previously raised, and the reason for refusal recommended in the agenda is the same as that in the refusal of the previous application. I'll just take you through the sequence now. So here's the aerial, here's Willowdean. So we have eight photographs. First two from four from the west, and the others more from the east. So this is looking down Rectory Lane. Willowdean is the house here with the timber cladding. This is looking at the front, the property, the garage would be centrally located within the garden, behind the wall and the foliage screening. Just looking to the right of the property to the to one of the two accesses. And this is looking in the other direction to the access on the left. And again, this is the access on the left, looking at a moor from a more central location. This is looking northwest along Rectory Lane. This is the site frontage here, and both accesses here and here. This is the neighbouring property, Woodcroft, with Little Dean here. And the final image is looking northwest along Rectory Lane from a position further to the south. Here's Little Dean. In terms of the images, we have a location plan. And this is the proposed block plan. So here we have the two accesses, which are seen in the photographs. And behind the screening here, we have the proposed garage. This is the footprint of the garage, 5.1 by 5.1, as referred to in the report. And this is the elevations. The application is recommended for refusal for the reasons set out in the agenda. Thank you.
Thank you. We don't have a objector, correct, but we do have a supporter, Mr. Greg Neupower.
Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm aware that the objections have been raised to the proposed garage. Will be in the front of the property. However, the proposed garage will be hidden from the view to the nature of the design as seen on the architect's drawing, and the view of the house can only be obtained from the driveway, as the retaining wall adjacent to the footpath is also planted for natural hedge growth, which should be kept in place. The proposed garage will be sensitive and sympathetic to the character of the area, and proposed garage the garage is not going to be used for any commercial use and will not look like a commercial building, and it will bear with the same hallmarks of the current property. I have consulted my neighbors who are happy with my plans and have no objections. I'm applying again because I have become aware of a dwelling at 62 Castlebank in Stafford, which made a similar request for detached double garage in the front garden and was approved by committee. I believe that my proposal is well screened from the highway by existing boundary hedging, which, if required, I'm happy to reinforce with further planting. In addition to signing of my garage caused less of a loss of aspects to my neighbors, as shown on the block plan, as it is well outside of the vision space of my neighbors nearest the habitable room window and does not create any highway safety issues.
You have 1 minute.
Thank you. I note also that the original officer's report on previous applications referred to my house previously have internal garage, which has been converted to habitable accommodation, creating this problem. I would state that this conversion was done by a previous owner and not by me, whereas the proposed on 62 Castlebank does have existing garage to the side of the property, which the new garage blocked off any access to. In the village, We do also have a few garages built in the front of the property. For example, single garage on number 48 Malthouse Drive, which was again accepted by committee in 2003. There will be no adverse impact on existing parking or provisions for further parking requirements. In fact, I'm actually creating more space.
Your time is up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You can resume your seat now. Have we got a whole council?
Yes.
Mark, do you want to address?
Yeah, please.
Thank you. You have 5 minutes.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. Before I start, I'm obviously here. This was called in by Councillor Ray Sutherland, who's been quite ill and not been able to take correspondence or anything on it. So I'm, as fellow ward member, going to just quickly say a few words. So very quickly, this is application. The parish council have seen it. Initially, the chairman said he thought it was okay, but since then, the further parish council have actually said that they are objecting to it on the grounds of, as been put forward by planning officers, it's in front of the properties. I have spoken to the applicant yesterday. Again, he's concerned that it's not visible from the road, that his neighbours haven't objected, and I presume that's born out of the report. And finally, again, he did mention to me that 62 Castlebank had been built, and he felt that his was a similar construction and should be allowed. Ray called this in. Quite rightly for the committee to acknowledge the, or look at the impact on street scene, and the only thing I would say in terms of street scene is that it is opposite the primary school and in close proximity to Horton Church.
Yeah.
And I'll leave it there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you. Pastor Trowbridge.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As it was myself who brought 62 Castlebank to the committee, I just want to put a bit of clarity to the difference. The garage at 62 Castlebank was sideways on to the house, which is what is acceptable as far as planning legislation goes. It should be of 90 degrees. This obviously isn't of 90 degrees to the house, it's directly opposite. I mean, it's a beautiful house, and I like the design, but it's not within planning law to have a garage situated in that sort of spot. And I do sympathise a little bit with the gentleman, because it is hidden, and it's a large plot for it to go into, but it's quite against planning law, so I have to stick with the officer on this and accept her decision. I think it's very different to 62 Castle.
Pastor Cooper.
Thank you, Chairman. Just educating me, why does anybody know technically why planning law suggests that a garage can't effectively point at the house?
It's not planning law. We're looking at planning policy, and we're looking also at the design guidance within the supplementary planning document, which does make reference to garage use in forward locations.
So, same question then, almost policy or whatever. What is the problem with it facing me? I mean, from somebody passing in the street, driving in the street, neighbours, it's almost invisible. The only people that are going to look at this garage door are those sitting in the house itself looking out on it, and I'm trying to, for my company, figure out what is the problem with that.
Can I just refer you to the reason for refusal on page 51? It says the same reason for refusal as the previous application. And what we are considering here is visual impact as the primary issue. And I think it's the third line in the reason for refusal, and this is a planning judgment, in that we feel that there is sufficient harm from the prominency and it appearing as an incongruous feature on the visual amenities of the locality to warrant a recommendation of refusal. Now that is a planning balance and a judgment.
What I understood Councillor Cooper to be saying is that the people who are most affected by the sighting are the residents, that the neighbours and passers-by are unlikely to be aware of the positioning because of the greenery in front of the building, in front of the in the wall road. But the guidance that you've got is of sufficient strength not to allow that, but to recognise that there is that it would create an incongruous, a prominent and incongruous feature. Councillor Cooper?
Yeah, there's already a wall in front of it, as well as extensive growth. To what extent, I realise the garage is going to be very close and the construction will obviously damage some of that edging and tree growth. This is on image 5.
Yeah, all the pictures that we showed were of quite dense foliage.
Yeah, so that dense foliage there, I guess, will be damaged maybe in the construction. But there's no reason at all why we should look to put a condition on that hedge between the wall and the new garage shouldn't be reinstated to make sure that, you know, if the garage was built now with that hedge in place, it'd be all but invisible to anybody apart from whoever's in the house looking out of it.
Yeah.
Councillor Pardesi?
If the chair, I don't think if a garage was put there, it would be towering above the greenery there. The neighbours aren't objecting. Across the road, we have a school and a church. It's not like somebody's going to be sitting in their front room having to face this garage. I mean, how much of the garage is going to be seen? And nobody else is objecting to it.
Pastor Trowbridge?
Could you explain to me then? I read, and I've definitely read, that if you are to have garages at the front, the entrance must be of 90 degrees. Where have I read that?
I don't have the SPD with me, no. But I think it's preferable. But I think what we have to accept on this case is that the Highway Authority are not raising objection in terms of the arrangement and the use of the garage. So technically it works.
Okay.
The reason for refusal purely relates to visual amenity. It's visual impact.
You're not saying that if you come out of your garage facing the house and drive into it.
There's no objection, Mr. Chairman, to that. The Highway Authority are not raising any technical objection to it.
Then I'm going to throw a spanner in and totally U-turn on what I was saying to start with, because that in my head was planning law. Well, if you're saying it's on view and I disagree, I think we just need to put a condition in that none of that greenery disappears and accept it.
Yeah.
I'll second
I'll just wait for this consultation.
We need a reason as to
it's
why.
It's similar to the last one, so you just need to expand on why.
Okay. I'll come back. I'll come back. The Councillor McCann.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can we just have a look at the site location plan, please? Just the one before that, the actual OS. So I'm looking at that there, and the position of the house on the plot. And then when I look at the application drawing, the site plan, that one there. Seems to me that 5 metres, is that drawn accurately, is my question, that the garage isn't drawn accurately, because it looks like 5 metres should be taking up a lot more space than is shown on that plan, and the photograph as well, which...
Yeah, could you put the photograph back up that shows the screen?
Only my head, I'm thinking 5 metres is going to take up half of that front garden, is what I'm looking at, thinking that's about 10 metres from the perimeter wall to the front face of the property.
When the garage is built, will you be able to see it through in that photograph?
I don't know what will be left
built,
but
Richard.
I've got the assessment, Mr. Chairman.
That's
a judgment call for members.
I'm just thinking that if you leave 1 metre of foliage behind the wall, that in terms of the accuracy of the plan, it looks as if the garage will be much closer to the house in reality than it's shown on the plan submitted.
Are you saying you won't be able to drive it?
Well, I'm saying it could impact on that.
Councillor, can I just refer you to page 49? Under the consultation comments of the Highway Authority, where the Highway Officer does say that a site visit was carried out on the 29th of July last year. So I think that officer has been out to site. I think they've done their own assessment. And in arriving at their no objection recommendation, they are satisfied with what they've observed on the ground in relation to the submission.
And that's inside the property and on the street scene.
Well, I'm not sure how the site visit was conducted, just that an officer has been out to site.
So is there a proposal for a condition that says that the garage must be protected from the road in terms of visual impact?
So in my mind, I'm just questioning whether the accuracy of that drawing, when you compare the drawing provided against the OS one, it would appear to me 5 metres square is going to take it much closer to the house than what is apparently shown.
Chair, we've just been reassured on that point.
Well, can I just seek clarification as well, but from can you help us in terms of...
Yes. The total width of the plot, it's almost 23 metres. It's quite wide. The house on its own, it's 18 metres wide. And the space which you can see on the site plan, you have two trees which are going to be kept in place. It's 6.5 metres between them. So the drawing is very accurate. I have hired a very well-known architect in Stafford, and he done everything properly.
Through you, Mr. Chairman, could we ask, what is the distance from the perimeter wall on the front to the front face of the property?
It's going to be around 7.5 metres.
7.5?
Between the front of the garage door, and the front of the building.
So again, through you, Mr. Chairman. So it's 12.5 metres from the front face of the house to the perimeter wall.
All the time. and it's going to be over a meter, 1.2 meter of gap for the hedge between the back of the garage, which is going to be on the front of the house, next to the road, to the boundary wall. The space for the hedge between the boundary wall and the garage, over 1.2 meter.
Okay.
Well, if that's what it said, I'm not convinced, but you know, if that's what...
To accept that.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman. There's only one thing that slows me. Now, I've just been reading through the bit that I was pointing to. You need 6 metres to park a car. 6x3 is a single garage. 6x6 is a double. And this is 5x1, is it?
That's the size of the garage.
It's a strange size, is what I'm saying, then, for a garage. Never mind, it was just a point.
The Highway Authority do recognise that the garage is substandard in terms of manual for streets, and they accept it, but in reality it would only provide accommodation for one car, but there is still sufficient on-site parking on the driveway to meet our standards.
Okay. Did we have a proposal?
Yes, we had a proposal from me to accept it on, and you needed a point on, here we are, I will give you a point there.
So you're going against the officer's recommendation?
Yeah.
Yes.
So you just need to demonstrate why there's no impact on the visual immunity.
Okay, I will say then, the proposed detached garage, for reason of its scale, forward sitting in relation to the existing dwelling and in close proximity, the frontage boundary with Rectory Lane isn't prominent and is not incongruous to Rectory Lane street scene, and therefore is within policy N1 of the MPPF.
Yes, it's not in. It's not incongruous,
yeah.
and that we're saying is because we're assured that the, or a condition that the foliage greenery will be retained.
Oh yes.
So can I just clarify the reason again, Mr. Chairman? So I think what trying to follow the debate here with committee. So what you're saying is the screen provided by the wall.
Yes.
In addition to the foliage,
yeah,
which can be secured by a condition,
yes,
in the event that of its removal, will mitigate the visual impact of the garage,
yeah,
and therefore, in that context, it will not appear incongruous.
That's right.
Within the Rectory Lane street.
Exactly what I said.
Yeah. that's absolutely right. Because I think we've been convinced that the screening will make this acceptable, but it is a condition that the applicant ensures that that is the situation.
I may point out as well, if you go back to plan what the whole area plan. If you there are a few garages in the front on the next street down.
Are you've proposed? Did
yes.
we have a seconder for it?
It was Mrs.
Councillor Pardesi. Thank you.
Yeah.
Added on.
No, we've described the condition we're requiring.
Just for clarification, you are suggesting a landscaping condition.
Yes.
Yes.
And that would be a planting scheme along the site frontage.
Well, it's already there.
So
that to be retained.
Yes.
Right.
Unless, as Councillor McEwen said, there isn't enough room, but then there needs to be something visual to hide.
But the screening is an integral part of this approval.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
That needs to be made clear to the applicant.
So what we're saying is, in the event of any removals, we will want a scheme of compensatory planting.
Absolutely. Those in favour of that proposal?
1, 2, 3, 4, 4.
Those against?
1.
Thank you. That approved. That is approved.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We now go. We now go. Again, Mark, we're very sorry. We understand your concern about the first item on this agenda. I think in practice there was little we could do about it.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. It wasn't for me. I mean.
Yes.
No. I felt for those people who came out on that, and we apologise.
They were unimpressed. I think someone had to say something.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, the letter was only received on Monday.
Yes.
Okay. Cheers, Mark. Send our love to Ryan.
Is he out of hospital?
Apparently, Mark was told yesterday he should be coming out today, so I think
he's been a fair time. Okay, can we now go on to page 53, where we have got planning appeals. The first one is in relation to the Hough Retail Park. Who's taking us through these, you Richard?
Unfortunately, Chairman, given that I wasn't supposed to be attending committee, I've not prepped for that section of the agenda.
Shall we just note these appeals?
We can read them.
Okay. Yeah. So these are noted. And then we go on to page 55, which there is a report on 15 Old Road Stone. And at the end of it, we're asked...
Chairman, these are the ones that
have
been referred to the next...
Yes.
All of them are...
Chairman, items 7A and 7B, because the case officer is not available, it's been agreed to defer both items 7A and 7B until the next committee.
Good, thank you. And they will come to the next committee on March the 23rd.
I'd like to believe that, Chairman.
That's it. Thank you very much for your attendance. Not often we have two applications.